I'd like to read a scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'd appreciate your prayers very much. Romans 8 and 31. The Lord gave me this a few months ago at home, and kind of brought it out in the Bible study, and it was brought to my mind this morning. I'd like to take a look at it. Romans 8 and 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" It's something that sometimes I think we forget, and we say things like, "Well, I wish I could do this, or I feel like I need to be doing this, but I've got this opposition here, and this and that." We have fears, and we have financial difficulties, and things like that. And there are all kinds of things that we can point to not do what maybe we feel like we ought to do. Like to think of a scripture. I've got one in Acts I want to read, but let's go to Luke first. Luke, in the 4th chapter, in the 28th verse. Jesus has been talking in the synagogue and saying some things that some of them didn't want to hear, made them angry. And so it says in Luke 4 and 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Their full intention to do away with him. They thought that by doing that they could get rid of the nagging that was inside of them. That was really what the trouble was. They had something inside. See, Jesus' words were not the same as words that you and I think of and just speak, unless the Holy Spirit's behind them. When we get up here and minister, I sure hope that the Holy Spirit's with me, because if He's not, you're really not going to get anything. But if He's up here with me, He can speak 50 different messages to 50 different people. Exactly what you need. And the words of Jesus, when He was speaking, it was something, it was powerful. Every word that He was spoke, He had no problem with communication. He didn't have any difficulty communicating the thoughts that He was thinking. It was the very everything He said went right to the root, right where it was supposed to go. And that's what we, as anyone who works for the Lord, needs to pray, that whatever they say does that too. We want to do good things in the world. We want to help the Lord. We want to fight battles and win victories and pull down strongholds with the weapons that the Lord gave us to use. And fear is something that hinders that. Well, look at what happened with Jesus. It said they rose up, thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. It doesn't say where he sat down and diplomatically convinced them to that this was not the time to do that, or that they would be in trouble with the Sanhedrin if they did that, or any of that. He just simply, by the power of God, it wasn't His time. And so He he got out of there and just passed through the midst of them. I don't know if their hands were their muscles went limp and they couldn't do anything, or they God just took him out of their field of vision, or what he did, but he was gone. And I think of another scripture in Acts, in the fourth chapter, where the apostles were preaching Jesus, and the rulers of the synagogue came and said, in the 18th verse it said, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And they threatened them, said, you're going to get in big trouble if you do that. And so they got together and they said, we're afraid. What do we do? Let's pray. We don't really have the strength to keep going, not in the face of all this opposition. And so they started praying, and their words so impressed me. In Acts 4 and 29, they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And they could have asked for a lot of things. They could have said, Lord, send us to a country that there isn't so much opposition. The whole world here needs to hear Jesus. Let's let this hornet's nest die down for a little while, and maybe we can come back later. No, I want to tell you something. They knew what the Lord wanted them to do. And they had a specific mission, a purpose, something that they were inspired to do. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But they still had this fear. What do you do with that? Fear hinders you too. And so they said, Lord, we don't know, in essence, we don't know what to do about this. Lord, behold their threatenings. You see what they're doing. We don't have the wherewithal to combat that. The fear will tie our tongues in knots. Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, help us to be able to realize in a fuller dimension who you are and be able to do what you want us to do. This nation's a whole lot darker than it was when I was a boy, and I'm not that old. There are things that laws that are being passed that can make us very fearful, can't they? I have heard, and I haven't really verified it to a deep extent, but I read it online, that 16 different states as of last year had already set up a framework to prosecute people that preached against homosexuality. The framework is already in Canada. There are things that are being done that can cause us to be very fearful and say, we can be tempted to say, you know what? We need to be very careful how we conduct ourselves. We need to watch out because we could get in trouble, and if it gets extinguished, then who's going to hear about Jesus? So we need to tone down our message a little bit, and you know, I know we've got the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but we also need to use common sense. I want to tell you something. If God be for us, yes, you need to use wisdom. Yes, you need to use what you might call common sense. But I want to tell you what common sense is. In my mind, it's to do the will of God. And we need a little bit more of that sometimes. And so in Acts, they didn't say, Lord, help us, deliver us, keep us all alive. They said, Lord, you've got a word for us to speak. Give us the boldness to speak it. Help us to say what you want us to say. Help us not to cower down in fear and give a watered down message. Help us not to be so diplomatic that the essence of the gospel is done away with. They knew that's what the Lord wanted them to do. Look at Stephen. Acts, the 6th chapter. 8th verse. Stephen was one of the deacons that were appointed to... He wasn't an apostle. He was someone that looked after tables and whether the widows were getting taken care of and that kind of thing. You'd think someone like that might just be able to kind of fly under the radar and not really talk about the Lord. And I just want to make sure that everything's taken care of, and I'll keep my salvation close to the vest. The Lord had a different idea for Stephen, didn't He? Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. I want you to listen to this next verse. It says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which He spake. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that by the help of the Lord in a little bit. They were not able to resist the wisdom and Spirit by which He spake. Neither could those men in the synagogue when Jesus was in it. We can't come up with anything to refute what He's saying. And so to silence the voice of our own conscience, they wouldn't ever say that, but that's what they were doing. We're going to do away with Him. They couldn't silence the voice of their own conscience. See, I can tell you anything, but if the Lord, and then I can go away and say, well, I told them, I showed them truth, now they're responsible. But we're really responsible when truth is spoken and the Lord pricks our heart with our conscience. That's the point of responsibility for us. And Stephen, by the power of the Holy Ghost, got there. He spoke things that went to the very root of the matter and revealed truth into their lives, whereas before there may have been some leniency granted to them by God, but there's a point. There are defining moments in every one of our lives, all through life, where yesterday I was living pleasing to God, and all the way up until I hear something about myself that from the Lord. And the Lord says, all right, you know more now than you did 5 minutes ago. What are you going to do with it? Well, these men had that point too. And instead of yielding to their conscience and said, as some others told Peter in the 2nd chapter of Acts, men, what shall we do? What do we do? They said, we've got to get rid of him. We can't hear this voice anymore. It'll kill us. It'll drive us out of our minds. We can't deal with it. And so they got people that lied and blew things out of proportion and staged a mock trial against him. They suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And I look at the 15th verse and I marvel. I wonder exactly what this is talking about. What they saw, it said that all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And they heard the words that he spoke, and it pricked their consciences. And they couldn't do anything about it except to do away with him. You think God was with Stephen too? They were going to do away with Jesus, and Jesus just passed through the midst of them. But God had a different path for Stephen. In the 51st verse, you know, I really admire Stephen. He could have said, you know, guys, I've been a little hasty with my words. Let me go. My main mission here is just to kind of help people out. I want to make sure widows are taken care of. You surely wouldn't find any fault with that, would you? I've opened my big mouth and I won't do it again. I'm sorry. The Lord had a job for him. He said, "Ye stiff-necked." That sounds diplomatic, doesn't it? "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." What he said, he was full of the Holy Ghost. The words that he said reached the very depths of their heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. And they took him and they stoned him. Sounds like a failure. Sounds like the devil got the victory that day, doesn't it? But there were so many things that came out of that. You cannot convince me that that was not instrumental, one of the things that Saul at the time was kicking against. And Stephen at the very last said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." What a monument of the grace of God. You can look at the story of Jesus who said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you can say, "Well, that was the Son of God. We don't have the, I'm not Jesus. I don't have..." Well, then how do you explain what Stephen said? The Lord had some things that He wanted to work out of this. And it was God's path. God was in it. Stephen was faithful all the way to the end. He could have gotten out of it. He could have likely sweet-talked those people in the synagogue and said, "I want to do something different. I'm going to have a little more common sense." But he didn't do that. The Lord had a work for him to do right there in the synagogue. And the Lord did not leave him alone, but He stood beside him and followed him. And at the end, He said, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He hasn't forsaken me. He's right here. He's right here." The courage that He's given. "Come home. It's time for you to come home. You did what I told you to do. What do you think?" He would have seen if he would have quelled the inspiration of the Spirit of God telling him to speak what He wanted him to speak. We read in the 12th chapter of Acts of some things that Herod did. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." What about that? Was James out of the will of the Lord? Was he doing what he shouldn't have been doing? Did the Lord forsake him? It says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Excuse me. "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." You know, we know this story. It's a very familiar story. And we know that Peter wasn't beheaded like James was. There came a time that Peter, if the historians are correct, that he said that... "I don't want to be crucified like that." They were going to crucify him. And he said, no, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord was. Crucify me upside down." And according to what I understand, that's how he died. Out of all the 12 apostles, was it John was the only one that I know of that died a natural death, was he not? He was around 100 years old, according to my understanding, when he died. They boiled him in oil, and he wouldn't boil. I think it was John. My point this morning is that there will be a path for you. And it might be the path of James, but it also might be the path of Peter. I don't know what path you're going to have. They took Peter, and you know the story. They put him in the prison there, and the angel woke him up in the middle of the night and said, "Come on." His chains fell off. Walked past all the guards. Don't you think the Lord could have done the same thing to James? But the Lord had a path for James. The Lord had a path for Paul. Paul said, "The things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel." And there are other people who are now emboldened to speak the word without fear because of my bonds. And so the whole goal of what I'm doing is to spread the kingdom of God. And so I rejoice. Philippians, the first chapter, says that. And he recognized that he was exactly in the place that God wanted him. And he was the one that wrote, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" There were times when, if the Lord wants you to do something, He's going to form a bubble around you and nothing can touch you. You can say what you need to say. You can do what you need to do. You'll be able to afford it. You'll be able to think of the things you're supposed to say. You'll have the wisdom that you need to have. Don't shy away from the things that the Lord reveals to you that He wants you to do because of what somebody else might think, because of the trouble you might get into. You have to be careful and not get into a place where, "Well, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, so I can say and do anything, and just because I think it and is an indication, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, so I can go tell anybody what I need to tell them." It's not that way. But there we all need to be able to live in a place where the Spirit of God can speak a word to our hearts and we can have the courage to obey it. If it's something that needs to be said, not just because we think it needs to be said, but because we're inspired by the Spirit of God, we can say it. And the Lord will cause us to whatever. I heard a story recently, and I don't even really remember who this was, but it was somebody in a foreign country. I think it may have been someone that was at Monarch when I was a child. I think it may have been from Africa, and said that there were some Muslims looking for him. They came in his house, and he saw a curtain go down in front of him. And there was a message on the curtain that said, "This is not unto death." And those men came and looked in the house, and they came right in the room where he was. He was just sitting in a chair, and they didn't see him. They're looking right at him, around him, and couldn't see him. And they walked back out, and then the curtain went down. And they came back in, and they saw him. And they took him, and they cut him all up, and left him to die. I think they slit his wrists. And the Lord raised him up. Folks, I want to tell you that we may lose some skin in this game. We may lose some respect. We may lose some dignity. We may lose more than that. I don't know what's going to happen in this country. But I believe it's not going to get any better for a while. I believe there are going to be some things that will be very challenging to God's people and our faith. But if God be for us, we can do whatever we need to do. My message to you is this morning is that you, by the grace of God, dispel fear out of your life. Don't live in fear. Do what the Lord wants you to do. I'd like to read just a few more scriptures before I sit down. John, the 7th chapter. Well, before I read that, I need to read one in Proverbs 27. Verse 8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, So is a man that wandereth from his place. If we go to John, the 7th chapter, in the first verse, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. There are times and there are places and paths that the Lord gives us to walk in. And if we feel like, you know what, I can do whatever, the Lord will protect us in the place that He sends us. But it's up to us to look out for ourselves if we get out of that. If we wander out of our place, I think one time I remember the seven sons of Sceva, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And they tried to cast a demon out of a man, and the man overpowered all seven of them. They didn't have on hand what they needed to have. You and I can be sanctified, but that doesn't mean that we can go anywhere and do anything and say anything. We need to be led by the Spirit of God to do what we need to do. Even Jesus Himself went where God sent Him. He said, I came here not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I have a mission to fulfill, and that's what I'm going to do. The Lord protected him. The power of God protected him wherever he was, where he needed to be. But then there was a time he wouldn't walk in certain places because the Jews sought to kill him. Was the power of God not with him then? Yes, he was. But he had a certain place where he needed to be, and that's where he was. You and I have places where we need to be. I think in the past there have been times where I thought that I could just take on whatever. And I could, somebody, I want to tell you something. There are people that are not their own master. There are spirits that are behind the things that they believe and say and do. And you can think, well, I've got the truth. I've got the Spirit of God. I'm just going to go argue with them about it. Be careful. Because you might be smarter than the man, but you're not more powerful than a spirit. There are things that can, when Stephen spoke to those men, there were spirits behind that too. But the Spirit of God was with Stephen and directed him, I want you to say this, and I want you to say it right now. Don't regard your personal safety. Jesus said, don't be afraid of them which kill the body. And after that, they don't have anything more they can do. God puts a hedge about His people to do His will. And it stays there as long as we stay in the center of God's will. But when we wander out of our place and we get involved in things that, well, I told them because they needed to hear it. Maybe they do need to hear it. But not from you and not right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a time when the devil took Jesus up and set him on a pinnacle and said, jump down. Because the Scripture says He's going to give His angels charge over you. Lest you dash your foot against the stone, bear thee up. And Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. My burden today is that we would all be so very concerned about what the Lord's will for us is in our lives and determine that we're going to do it no matter what. But not get some sort of a, put ourselves up on some sort of a pinnacle and say, well, I've got the Spirit of God. Everything I think and say is right and I'm going to go and I see this situation, I'm going to line it out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here and straighten this situation out and people have got to listen to me. And if they don't, then they're lost and that kind of thing. The Lord wants us to have wisdom in what we do. And you know, I was thinking about this scripture in Proverbs 27. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. There are people besides us that will suffer if we get out of our place. To wander, to go somewhere, to be where we're not supposed to be. We have children that are looking at us. We have people that are in our sphere of influence. May the Lord help us to be right there in the place that we're supposed to be. The Lord will give you everything you need. He'll give you the wisdom to say the things you need to say. He'll give you the strength and the courage to accomplish His will. He'll give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need in the time when you need it. He'll give you the means to accomplish whatever He gives you to do. You pray for me.